Speak with power, lead with presence, build your confidence. Meet Central Florida's charisma coach. Welcome to the Mary Gardner Show. Now, here's Mary.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Mary Gardner Show. This is where we talk about leadership, purpose, courage, communication, and the stories behind extraordinary people, which you're going to hear one today. Today's show is really centered around one powerful question. What are you doing with your life that truly matters? At some people, many successful people begin asking that deeper question. It's beyond the titles and beyond achievement and beyond recognition. Like, who am I helping? Who am I serving? And what impact am I really making? And what legacy am I leaving behind? Because the people who truly change the world are rarely the loudest people in the room. They're often the people that are quietly lifting others up. They're healing others, mentoring others, and giving people hope. And today's guest is someone who embodies that spirit beautifully. Patrick Chapin is the former president and he is the president and CEO of Boggy Creek Camp, one of the most special places in the world. It's in Central Florida. It's a camp designed for children with serious and chronic illnesses where kids get to laugh, play, connect, and simply be kids again. Patrick himself has had a remarkable leadership journey. He served in major leadership roles with 10 years at Disney and the chamber world, and then spent years away from Central Florida and ultimately returned to dedicate himself to mission-driven work. And he has a deeply personal story of sacrifice and service that I can't wait for you to hear. So today we're going to be talking about leadership, purpose, significance, and the power of serving others. Patrick, welcome to the show. It's good to see you, my friend.
Oh, it's so nice to hear you and see you, Mary. It's been a bit of time, but it's great to connect with you.
Well, I have been a fan for a long time because you did 10 years at Disney, and then you were the president of the Winter Park Chamber. And I always saw you did such a great job. I didn't get to see you up close and personal when you were working at Disney, but your ethics, your calmness, your beautiful leadership was so outstanding. And now I did get to visit you at where you are now at Boggy Creek, so I can't wait to talk all about it. But you've had an incredible journey. I'd love to hear some about your background, if you could share with the audience kind of what shaped you.
Sure. And again, I just want to thank you, Mary. This is a humbling experience. Thank you for the introduction. I know the level and caliber of guests that you have, so I appreciate you having me on. And
oh, it's my pleasure.
About Camp Boggy Creek.
Yeah.
Yeah, so born and raised in Central Florida, mm-hmm. Grew up with a family that has public service. As you may know, my mom was the first mayor of Orange County.
Mm.
So grew up here, started my kind of formative years at Disney, and was there for about 10 years in my 20s and 30s, doing international programs and sponsorship development.
Mm-hmm.
I was very fortunate. My mentor there became the president of Walt Disney World, George Kalogridis.
Wow.
So I learned some things. I'm not sure if I can translate them verbally. Some of that stuff is often just osmosis. But last role there was in Sydney, Australia during the games, the Olympic Games. And I came back and was thinking, you know, do I continue to climb the corporate ladder?
Mm-hmm.
And I decided to kind of go in the nonprofit world,
wow.
Kind of hit my heart a little bit more. So went to the Chamber of Commerce world, served on some nonprofit boards. And then was caught by a very personal experience with my family, my younger brother that I'm sure we'll talk about.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. That's amazing that you were pulled into the nonprofit world, because you probably could have made all sorts of income and money and status and everything in the corporate world. But what I'm curious about is, you had a powerhouse mom. What was that like growing up with someone like that?
Well, a powerhouse mom, first elected, you know, countywide mayor.
Yeah, Linda, right? It was Linda?
Yeah, Linda, a great pioneer. And you know, behind her was a great man, my dad, Bruce, who passed away. But he was a great father and a great supporter.
Mm.
And just public service, you know, always preached to my two brothers and my twin sister and I that, you know, we're fortunate by the place that we're born in this world, meaning the stature of the place to certain parents. And none of that was on us. So we owe a little bit back to the world for the opportunities we've had that just were given to us by pure luck.
Wow. Well, yes, luck, but also hard work and ethics. You know, I mean, you've been the president of organizations because of your leadership ability, and I think you do it so well. But what did leadership look like when you were president of the Chamber of Commerce? First of all, you came from Disney. So were you in leadership at Disney?
Kind of middle management. Mm-hmm. I was in the room with all the top people, like mm-hmm. when they were creating the Millennium Celebration. And it makes me think of a lesson that I've learned that I've used ever since, was because George was my mentor, I mm-hmm. kind of got to be in these rooms with the 20 people who were creating things. And mm-hmm. All I want to do is blend into the wall. You know, don't look at me. Don't ask me anything. I'll never forget it. And George said, after hearing from the top marketing and the Imagineers, said, Patrick, what do you think? And I mean, I'm still embarrassed. I have no idea what I said. But it was just a life lesson of, really take the opportunity to listen and hear yeah. from other people's. And as I've gone through my career, as you know, that the people who don't speak up, their opinions are often incredibly valuable. So, if I have an intern, I'll make sure to ask him or her, hey, what do you think? And,
yeah.
No matter what the level of the title is, everyone has an opportunity to contribute. And, that leads to probably another really big lesson. As I haven't thought about it for a long time mm-hmm. because it kind of becomes your nature. But the concept of alignment, at Disney, it was about the term alignment. So mm-hmm. our mission was to create the most magical experience for our guests.
Yeah.
Well, George Kalogridis did it as leading Epcot at the time and eventually leading Walt Disney World in different ways than I did, in working with international partners around the globe. And the housekeeper at the Grand Floridian did it differently than the two of us. None of them were any better or worse. I would argue that the housekeeper creating Mickey ears with the towels for our guests was probably more monumental than some of the things I did. So we did it differently, but we all did the mission of creating a magical experience for our guests in our own ways.
In your own ways, in your own talent. Yeah, absolutely. You're right. Those little nuances are very impactful. When somebody walks in a room, it makes that first impression really valuable and really important. It's an intangible thing, just that feeling that you get. But one of the things you just talked about of people not speaking up, that seemed to me a pivotal part in your career where you actually were pulled out in front of everybody and were forced to speak up and you were mortified. And here all these years later, you're still blushing. It's so funny because that's what I do. I help a lot of people come to that place where, look, that time is going to come, when you are supposed to stand up and supposed to be seen and visible. And a lot of people choose not to. There are people that I've coached that have said, it's not my thing. I don't want to do that. I don't want to go into management. So you recognize and tell that story. It's a really good story that you were pulled out and then you had to, talk about that. And I like it that it translated into your own leadership, that you'll go and you will help other people that are younger be seen and be visible. So good for you. That's amazing.
Yeah. Well, don't we all, especially as we get older, want to help people, because people helped me through, personal and professional. So it's a joy for us to give back. I will say, I don't mind public speaking. All of the kind of psychosocial tests I've done in interviews and mm-hmm. Gallup polls and mm-hmm. all this stuff, throughout my career, my score, it sounds weird to say this, but I score very, very low on ego, mm-hmm. high in emotional intelligence, but mm-hmm. very low ego. Mm-hmm. And it sounds weird for even to say my ego, because I just don't have to be the smartest one in the room. I don't care if I mess up. I don't care if I, offer something. 9 times out of 10, when I offer something, we usually take a piece of that and end mm-hmm. up better. So mm-hmm. I don't call it confidence necessarily. Mm-hmm. I just call it kind of an innateness of who I am as a person.
Amen.
So
I love it.
Whatever that has gotten me, it's played well to at least my comfort level and my belief in myself.
I love that. It's kind of like the servant leader. I actually, when I do the test also, I come out same. It's low on the ego because it is about supporting others and making sure they sign, they are, in the limelight as well. So I think that is so important to recognize in yourself. Just curious, what drew you to the community leadership and going into a nonprofit?
probably, you know, the DNA, my mom and my dad, just being, my dad was an attorney, but was very involved. So, yeah, just making a difference. You know, it was just something, the way I'm wired. I kind of joke now because my younger brother is new to the city commission in Orlando.
That's right.
And everyone says, well, gosh, why didn't you go into politics? And I said, well, I like 98.9% of the people like me, not 50.12%.
Yeah,
so
that's right. My boyfriend and I were just saying, like, why do people go into politics? And I think most people do to make an impact, but it is an ugly game.
Yeah, the local level, I think, is, you know, you can move the needle a lot more. So that's how I think we've been wired. But, yeah, just, you know, growing up around great-grandparents and grandparents and understanding Great Depression and what, you know, how fortunate we are and what we can do to give back at any time and how really simple it is. And also, I think, and a lesson I've learned more recently with some of the things with the illnesses is just people want to help. So if you give them an opportunity, sometimes they don't know how to help or even know how to ask how they can help. But giving them opportunities to showcase opportunities to help is important.
I love that. I do think that is true, that people do want to help and they don't know how. And so that really does help people feel confident about themselves. It makes them want to do it more because it's a good feeling. So I love that you are a leader that really inspires other people to jump in and to help. And we're talking to Patrick Chapin right now of Boggy Creek. We're going to talk about the camp when we come up, but we're talking about his leadership role at Disney, at the Chambers, and we'll be introducing Boggy Creek in just a few minutes. So stay right with us. We're going to take a break. You're on the Mary Gardner Show. This is Mary Gardner, and I look forward to seeing you after our break. Listen to our fun sponsors. We'll see you back.
Where voice meets vision. Welcome back to the Mary Gardner Show. Now let's get back into the studio. Here's Mary.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Mary Gardner Show. We're talking to Patrick Chapin today, who's the president and CEO of Boggy Creek Camp. Summer camp, and or it's a year-round camp. We're going to hear about that in a few minutes. We've been talking to Patrick about his leadership experiences when he worked at Disney and also the Chambers. I know, Patrick, that you took a detour and you left Central Florida for a little while. Where did you go, and how did you decide to come back?
Well, I went to North Carolina. I was running the Winter Park Chamber of Commerce. I've been there about 8 years and was recruited away to High Point, North Carolina, which is outside Greensboro. A very similar chamber, kind of fallen a little bit on hard times at the time. So I decided to go up there with my wife and my daughter, and it was a great experience on a lot of different levels. I was, you know, looking at different chambers, or people were calling me, and I really liked my time in Winter Park, but you know, after 7-8 years, you want to challenge yourself a little bit more. What I didn't want to do, and I think that's important as I reflect back, is recognize what I didn't want to do. I didn't want to be an economic developer per se, like, you know, bring JetBlue to Greensboro. I want it to be more of a chamber of community, and that is, you know, bring small business together, you know, focus on leadership programs and see how we can impact the community kind of on a more grassroots level, and was able to do that at Business High Point.
Wow, that's what a good leader does, is bring people together, help them develop those leadership skills. You don't learn those necessarily in school, so you really have to learn them either through outside training or in jobs like you had. So that's really incredible. And then you came back and you got recruited. Why did you come back? Was it just the opportunity at Boggy Creek?
Yeah, interesting. There was a longtime CEO at Camp Boggy Creek, and they were looking for a new leader. But this was a couple years ago, 2 or 3 years ago, and they called me, some people, you know, they called lots of people, but I was fortunate to get a call, and they'd heard about some of the things I've done here locally. But our daughter was still in high school, and you know, as a big of appeal as it was, I just knew it wasn't, you know, good for all of us. So the person that was hired stayed for a couple years, I think, 2 years or so, and they called me back. And we were literally packing the car to take our daughter to college.
Oh, my gosh.
So we decided we're going to head south and come back home, and it's been great to be around family and have this great opportunity. And it's amazing, been gone 10 years, 9 years, and we pick up right where we left off. And I saw you recently.
I know.
I hadn't seen you in 10 or 12 years.
Oh.
So we jumped right back into, metaphorically speaking, the pool, as you and I are both swimmers.
Exactly. That's right. Oh, my gosh.
So
no, it was so
fun. Great.
And I got to visit you out there. Oh, before we talk about that, I want to talk about some really deeply personal things that you have gone through also, because you had a health issue in your family. And I know that you have had you gave up something really important. And this is like something deeply changing in your life and others. And tell me about your experience of giving away an organ.
Well, I'll have to back up a little bit because that's only a tiny bit of it. And, you know, this is about Camp Boggy Creek. But for context, I'll fight the urge not to talk about some of my experiences. My younger brother, Roger, has two daughters, Blair and Gray. Mm-hmm. And Blair was born with a very, very rare genetic condition called Sanfilippo syndrome. Mm-hmm. And this, you know, there's maybe 100 or 200 born a year. And born perfectly healthy, looks healthy, then a couple of years into it, kind of looks like autism. Mm-hmm. It wasn't until she was 7 years old they really finally diagnosed it. It's so rare.
Wow.
And it's just an awful disease. I recommend your listeners not look it up. They call it kind of childhood Alzheimer's. But anyway, it inspired a lot of people, is the great news. And in 2011, she was, I think, six or seven, maybe. And I decided to climb Kilimanjaro, raise awareness. And in your opening earlier, you talked about courage. And that was kind of our theme. Is I had a flag with the courage written on it and took it to the top. And long story short, over the years, met other Sanfilippo families, raised a lot of awareness. There's a great YouTube out there called Sing for Blair, which Jimmy Buffett sang, and Christina Perry and others. So we were able as a family to raise, I don't know, $500,000 for research.
Wow.
Me personally, I did it through kind of some adventure reasons. I ran across the Grand Canyon in a day. Across the Grand Canyon and back in a day. I can't shortchange myself.
Wow.
Ironman's adventure races across the Andes. But one of those things that I did, and I held the courage flag every time, was I donated a kidney. And you may have recalled this, but that was while I was at the chamber in Winter Park.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my classmates in a leadership program, I didn't know real well, but we were Facebook friends.
Okay.
And she would post just loving stories about her husband and what illnesses and things that he was going through. He needed a kidney. So I went down, got tested, and we were almost a perfect match.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
It wasn't even a family member. I thought it was the family member. Oh my goodness.
No.
Oh,
And he's doing great. I have had the opportunity to go to 55 countries in my life. He just got back from Cuba and Scotland, which I haven't been, so my other kidney's been to 57 countries.
Oh my gosh.
I need to catch up.
That is crazy. So you donated to someone you didn't really know, but you had seen the story and it was really impactful. I have a friend, Dr. Rodney Ryder, whose wife, Janice, needs a kidney right now. And so it's so impactful. Did it change their life? Was he saved?
Yeah, he definitely, you know, is here because it worked out. And I will tell anyone who's interested, I mean, there's 100,000 people on a waiting list. I think 11,000 people donate a year. So there's a shortage. 7,000 are family members and friends. So there's only about 1,000 people who don't know their donor, 1,000 to 4,000. But it's so easy. I was in and out of the hospital in 48 hours, ran a 10K 6 weeks later, have had, you know, again, since then I've done all the things I mentioned in terms of Grand Canyon and Ironmans and all kinds of stuff. So I encourage anyone to really do their research. It's a great feeling to make a difference. You know, maybe it helped me a little bit on that trajectory of getting in heaven. I don't know. I was kind of faltering there a little bit. So I needed a boost, you know.
Oh, I'm sure that you, well, you've given so much. And when you give a kidney, that I'm sure the Lord is looking down upon you as a very good steward of his time and effort and everything that he's made, you know, put into you. So I'm sure, you know, and knowing
you. Thank you for letting me share that.
Yeah, that's so beautiful.
Really,
and I would encourage anybody that is interested in really creating some sort of impactful legacy in your life. I mean, I know how important it would be for my friend Rodney's wife to receive a kidney. Rodney, my friend, is such a beautiful human. I don't know Janice as well, but I know they're suffering and they're waiting. They're on that list. Patrick, before we go to break, I'd love to hear what kind of legacy you hope to leave. You've done so much already.
Well, that's tough. I guess, you know, the impact that I'm hopefully made on Blair and her and her family and the community. You know, we're able to do some very special things, and Blair was part of that. So out of a very negative situation, Blair brought the community together. Her mm-hmm. sister, Greg, would have a lemonade stand once a year and raise $30,000.
Wow.
That would just go to research. So I guess my legacy is hopefully giving back to people, being genuine, being sincere, and, you know, doing small things when I have the opportunity to do it. So, yeah, good father, good husband, and mm-hmm. a good person, hopefully.
I love that. And, I mean, you've done so much service for others. It seems like your family was also extraordinarily involved. You've been involved, and we're going to catch up. And I know that this has really personally changed you, and that's why you're at Boggy Creek, Camp Boggy Creek. But how has service and doing that for others really just changed your perspective of life?
It's selfish in many ways. I mean, it makes you feel good. You don't go out thinking that. You don't think I'm going to donate a kidney because mm-hmm. it's going to make me feel good. You don't know at the time. The donor, we'll exchange, the recipient and I will exchange texts every, you know, once or twice a year.
Oh, wow.
I don't want it to be a big deal, but I do want to be able to spread the word that it isn't, difficult at all to give. So, it's just an opportunity to give, celebrate the people that are giving so much in our in our lives. I see it every day, whether it's a parent taking care of a sick child or a counselor helping, you know, a camper. We're fortunate to be able to be absorbing all the goodness in this world and not always focusing on the negative.
Oh, I love that. We need that so much. I can't wait to talk about Camp Boggy Creek. We just have a minute before we go to break, but tell me what gives you hope right now.
Oh, I see it every day. I see parents coming together. I saw it with Blair. I saw communities coming out and supporting our family. There's always hope, and, you know, hope can be my child gets well, and, you know, if that doesn't help, hope can be people will come and support you. If that doesn't help, hope can be that you find peace and it makes sense and somehow that impacts you in a positive way. So I think life in the general sense, you know, outside of the noise of some of the things we probably worry most about.
Oh, my gosh. I just love your attitude, Patrick, because there's so many people that are down and out right now. They don't see any hope anywhere, and they're not having the same perspective as you. Getting to see and being around people that have had so many extraordinary situations with health issues and chronic illnesses and things like that, and it's beautiful that you're leading this organization, and if everyone could take away anything from that segment just now, is that look at the good. Be grateful for all the things in your life that you have. But this has been amazing. We're talking to Patrick Chapin, who's the executive director, the president, and the CEO at Camp Boggy Creek here in Central Florida. And we're going to take a quick break to hear some of our fabulous sponsors. And we'll be back to hear more about Camp Boggy Creek so you can get involved and you can create a legacy and you can create great feelings for you and your family. We'll be right back.
Your greatest impact is still ahead. Welcome back to the Mary Gardner Show. Here's Mary.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Mary Gardner Show. This is Mary, and I'm so excited to be here talking to a real leader and a true hero in our community of Central Florida, Patrick Chapin. And it's already just hearing people have asked me, why are you doing the radio show? Because we want to recognize people that are quietly behind the scenes doing beautiful work and inspiring people. And I want to do this because people need hope in today's world and people need inspiration. And oftentimes when we hear other people's story, they're just normal people and they're just average people sometimes, but they're doing great things. And so I don't think that Patrick being average at all, but he's somebody who has dedicated himself and done things far beyond what he probably ever imagined that he did, donating a kidney and running marathons and doing all these extraordinarily big things to help others. And so I'm just inspired, Patrick, by you. I'm so appreciative of you being here today. But I want to talk about the Boggy Creek Camp. I got to go visit it. I loved it. It was beautiful. Tell me the history and what is Boggy Creek Camp and who does the camp serve?
Well, thank you. Camp Boggy Creek is an amazing organization. I've been on board now for 6 months, but the camp has been around for 30 years. It is a medically safe camp, you know, for kids with serious illnesses. So think about all the kids. We serve kids with 16 different illnesses. These are the kids who could not in any way go to another camp. So we're we have a medical clinic. You wouldn't think it was a medical clinic. It's called The Patch, and it looks like a camp that you would go to, but it's a full medical center. We have 16 cabins, archery, pool, theater that was supported and built by Universal. So first-class organization, and we've been doing it for 30 years, originally founded by Paul Newman and General Schwarzkopf.
Oh, cool.
And this year we are celebrating 100,000 children and families that we've served throughout the state.
Wow. Is it just for kids from Florida or is it nationwide?
No, we're a part of a network. We're independent, but there's a Serious Fund network that is, I think, 8 or 9 around the country and 9 or 10 around the world, different programs. We serve anyone throughout the country, but typically it's geographical. So we partner with hospitals and people around the state of Florida mainly.
That's amazing. Tell me what happens when a kid arrives to Camp Boggy Creek emotionally. How are they feeling? What do the parents experience, especially when they're seeing their kids have fun, maybe for the first time in a while? Tell me about that.
Yeah, it's a great question. Let me tell you a little bit before what happens before, because we are a medical camp and we have kids who are coming with very, very serious conditions. Our full-time medical staff, we have a pediatrician, nurse, and then we hire nurses throughout the different programs and volunteer doctors come out. But imagine if you're going to have 125 sick patients, kids, walk into your office if you're a pediatrician. Well, those 125 kids are going to be walking into our camp. So our staff, our medical staff has to do all the, you know, medical background, all the, you know, the complexities and the intensities of these cases are massive. So go through all the medical history, talk to all the doctors, talk to parents. They arrive, mom and dad drops them off. You have to do a whole check-in with medication and so forth. As you can imagine, the kids are probably a little bit more apprehensive. We're about to launch our summer program in 2 weeks, so we're excited.
Oh, my gosh. But you guys are busy.
But the kids are they're nervous, some of them are repeat folks. So we try to balance former campers and new campers so they can really integrate with themselves. The nice thing about each week is they're specific to an illness.
So like what are some of the yeah, tell me about the ailments.
Yeah, so cancer, heart, epilepsy, sickle cell, you know, bleeding disorders. So the kids get to see, you know, they'll be swimming in the pool and they'll look over and one of the other campers will have a 10-inch scar on their chest, just like they do, because they had an open heart surgery.
Oh my gosh. So they're getting to see others that are going through the same thing they are.
Yep. And mom and dad, you know, I dropped our perfectly healthy daughter off at a horse camp. And she loved riding horses, and it was still hard. imagine if you're a parent and your child has been sick and never been able to do something like this.
So they drop them off?
Yeah, they drop them off. Wow. But we have to build a lot of trust before and during that. So by the time they arrive, mom and dad feel much more comfortable. And also the doctors that we work with, you know, are the doctors of the patients. So And we have nurses on staff that blend into the camp, so they're not walking around with nurse, you know, or doctor's name tags. They're wearing T-shirts and singing songs, but they're right there with the kids every moment of the day, and they know, is it someone dealing with heat stroke, or is there something more serious? So it's a very, very well-oiled medical facility and camp. But it's all about fun.
It's all about fun because it's so colorful. All the camp rooms, the barracks or whatever, the cabins are super cute. They're decorated. Like you said, that the place where they go for medical treatment, it's called the Patch or something.
The Patch.
It's like, it's adorable.
They get patched up.
Yeah. It is. It's fun. And I think that this would be the first time that they've gotten to be treated normally and not so special or unusual or awkward. And I would love to hear a story, a beautiful story of something that really deeply moved you, of something you've seen.
Well, gosh, I've experienced so many so already. I'll tell you, so we have summer camp. I haven't experienced summer camp yet because we're just about to launch and I haven't been on board yet. But we also have family retreat weekend. So in the spring and the fall, we have family retreat weekend. So mom and dad, caregivers get to bring the sick child and the siblings out. So we'll have 32 families spread out over, you know, six or seven sessions in the spring and the fall. It's a great way for mom and dad to get comfortable with camp. And also, you know, the kids can start making friends. But I think, I don't know what summer camp's going to be like, but it's hard for me to imagine the impact that I had already walking into our dining hall, which you've seen. Beautiful dining hall. And it was, I thought it was going to be like really kind of hectic, strange, I don't know, nervous energy. And it was hectic, but I walked in there and it was pure joy. It was mom and dad talking to one another. And I think because of my personal relationship with, you know, my brother and what he went through with his wife and their oldest daughter, that that connection where you can talk to someone who's living in the same experience, whether they're further along in the journey or just starting their journey, was just a really magical experience that I got to experience. So that's been one of them real quickly. You know, I have met at one of our big parties, a young lady named Meredith who had epilepsy and she was practicing in the theater in front of her friends and she had a seizure and, no one said anything because, you know, they're all used to it. She got up and started playing the piano and kept on and just had the biggest smile. And I've seen her. She's aged out now, but I've seen her at a couple of events. So Meredith is one of my favorite people so far.
And do some of the patients or the people that come, the campers, do they ever come back as volunteers to be a camp director or a camp counselor?
Yeah, believe it or not, we have, they often come, we have, they come back for counselors. Our current camp director was a camper and then a counselor and now is a camp director. I met someone at, this is amazing, and it goes to show how much our camp is impacting, but at one of the family retreat weekends, I was just having coffee and talking to a mom and asking about her experience, and she said she was a camper. Now her son is here, truly generational, different illness, and she is a emergency room nurse and volunteers for us in the summer.
Oh my gosh, that is so special. I remember you told me there were a lot of people that had been there for so many years off and on and stay connected to it. It's such a special place. And it feels like there's just so much joy and appreciation and gratitude to be able to come to a place like that. Now, I know that you're originally, I think you're sponsored by Advent Health, or you're supported by the health care community. How does Central Florida community actually support Camp Boggy Creek?
In a lot of different ways. We're fully funded by donations. And so we, you know, get support throughout the country, quite frankly. Locally, our hospital partners are Orlando Health, Advent, and Nemours. Great partnerships help us in different ways, whether it's in kind medicine or sponsoring different weeks or camps. So they're a great partner. As importantly, is they support us with volunteers, with doctors. You know, again, during Heart Week, we'll have cardiologists from the different hospitals throughout the state, but mainly here locally, who will come out and be here for a week and taking care of these kids. So nurses, volunteers, our hospital partners, are fantastic. Even our associations, the epilepsy, the hemophilia groups, everyone's just so supportive. And it's such a good cause that so many people get behind.
Oh, yeah. It's like, it's amazing that you have so many different people that are participating. And what role did the volunteers play?
Well, we, staff-wise, we're 2-to-1. So there's always one to two, I should say. One counselor paid for 2 campers.
Okay.
And then, so we'll have 75 staff during a week. But we'll also have about 75 volunteers as well.
Okay.
So we have about 1,000 volunteers support us throughout the course of the year.
Wow.
And it's a great opportunity. I mean, these counselors, these volunteers are learning such great skills in terms of leadership and, you know, active listening and empathy and all these great things. But they are a big part, and they are just allowing kids
Love
to be
it.
Kids.
Oh, it's so great. I'm loving this. This is so fun to hear about. It just gets me so excited thinking about the kids having such a great time at camp. We're talking to Patrick Chapin, who's the executive director, the president, CEO of Camp Boggy Creek in Orlando that serves chronically ill children. We're going to take a quick break and go see our sponsors, and we're going to be back to talk more with Patrick Chapin. Be right back.
Sharpen your voice. Refine your brand. With the Mary Gardner Show. Let's get back into the studio. Here's Mary.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Mary Gardner Show. I'm Mary, and we're talking to Patrick Chapin, who's the CEO of Camp Boggy Creek here in Orlando. And you know what is so interesting? I just heard this stat of kids that are spending like 9 hours a day, just average kids spending 9 hours a day on social media. And what if we got all our teens out? What if we got kids, our parents, and everybody would get up and start looking to volunteer doing something different and really coming together as a family? How great would that be? And I've been sitting here talking to Patrick about Camp Boggy Creek, and these children have chronic illnesses, and they get to come and be with other children that have the exact same issue, maybe cancer or diabetes or whatever the illnesses that they a sickle cell, bleeding disorders, and they get to feel not super special and awkward. They get to feel normal, which is so wonderful. And I remember, I mean, I had a child who was a bit of a special needs when he was little, and you just want people to treat your kid normal. And so I am just so excited to hear and to help people understand about Camp Boggy Creek, which is such a amazing place here in Central Florida. Patrick, we've been talking to you, and it's been phenomenal to hear all these stories. When a volunteer comes in, do they have to have had a chronic illness? Are you looking for volunteers now at Camp Boggy Creek? Who are the types of people that you need or that you accept as volunteers to the camp during the summer or throughout the year?
Yeah, we're always looking for trained medical staff as volunteers, nurses, but we have groups from, you know, Delta Zeta comes over from Tampa. You know, we have organizations come out and do work parties. So, you know, it saves us from having to repair a fence. They can come out and do that. So we're looking for, you know, civic groups, business groups. We have a ton of young soon to be entering medical school.
Oh, cool.
So they'll come out and volunteer.
Mm-hmm.
So it can be helping kids fish. It could be redoing a fence or really helping the campers, you know, take their medicine. So we love our volunteers. And
so like a team, like a company could do a team building episode out there. Like what would they do? Would they call you? Would they go on your website? They would talk to you about what needs to be done. And you have a list of things.
Yep. All the above. You can reach out to, you know, Patrick at Camp Boggy Creek, certainly our website, but you can track us down. You know, it's a 232-acre property, and I mentioned all the great assets that we have in terms of buildings and fun times for the kids. So we always need help. Again, it can be something technical from lighting to just helping us, you know, repaint a fence.
Do you have work parties? Is it are there certain times during the year where you're like, okay, we're looking for volunteers now, we're gonna have some kind of sort of event? I know you're doing a bunch of fundraisers.
Yeah, we welcome groups mainly outside of summer because we're real busy with summer camp, obviously. But yeah, we have probably 50, 60, 70 groups throughout the course of the year come out. And we have to turn some down. It's also a great opportunity to get our word out. You know, we're always raising money, and it's important, but, you know, I'm born and raised in Central Florida, and I asked three of my best friends, hey, I'm working at Camp Boggy Creek, and they looked at me like, huh, what's that? So we need to get the word out, especially in Central Florida. It's in our backyard. We, as I said, have served 100,000 kids and families, but I think there's an untapped audience here in Central Florida. So we need money, we need volunteers, but we need you to get the word out, please. So if you have friends and family, we all know someone with a child who's going through something difficult, and we'd love to help them.
I love that. And what if, you know, I'm just thinking about if families were to be able to get involved somewhere, would it be, would there be things that they could come, like plant trees, or you said that they were mending fences, and sometimes you have to, you know, send people away because you've got too many, but can they find information on the website? And do you have needs right now that we could send people to?
Well, we're entering summer, so we'll put kind of a pause on it now. But yeah, we always have needs. So again, it can be from resurfacing the pool. You know, we'll get contractors out here. We had an iBuild group come out and do a major kind of structural project for us. But we'll also have, we had a hospital come out and redo our putt-putt golf course, which was just hot and dirty, and they loved it.
Oh, my gosh. I think that sounds like so much fun. What is your favorite part, Patrick, of being involved with Camp Boggy Creek?
Yeah, the mission. I mean, it's kind of a cliche to say the mission, but it's not just the mission on a piece of paper, but what we do. I mean, we're, again, we're serving kids who would not be able to experience summer camp or any camp for that matter, if it wasn't for us. We are the premier medical facility in the state of Florida. I have to underscore all the time, this is completely free to our families and our campers. Thank you to all the great, generous people and partners that we have. But they get to put their, you know, mom and dad get to put their brain on a shelf for a minute, know that the kids are going to have fun, be completely safe, maybe hopefully get some downtime for themselves. And, you know, I mentioned when they get dropped off, sometimes the kids are apprehensive, and mom and dad sometimes even more so. But the kids cry more when they have to leave than when they arrive. They just don't want to leave their friends.
Of course not.
That they've made.
Oh, that's so beautiful. And,
yeah, it's special.
What would you say to someone who right now is listening and they're like, they are searching for more purpose in life? How would you guide them?
Wow, that's, you know, I would say start with something small. I mean, just identify something. If it's, I compare things to, you know, exercise. If you, you know, don't think you're going to go do an Ironman. Don't even think you're going to go do a marathon. You know, pick out, you know, go walk for 20 minutes, go run a 5K as your goal at the end of the year. Just identify something that you can, you know, help someone take their public shopping cart back when they unload their car.
Reach out to Mary Gardner at
marygardner.com. Little things
open doors,
help
build
people.
A legacy.
There's,
welcome back to the Mary Gardner Show.
Acts of kindness
now let's get
and
back
really,
into the studio.
I think,
here's Mary.
Make a difference, but also fill something and inspire something internally. And it becomes a little, it becomes contagious. So don't be shy. You know, wherever you can help someone, every little bit helps.
I see it
every day with our counselors and our volunteers. And recognize that what you're doing, you may not think is significant, but I guarantee you the smallest things sometimes make the biggest difference.
Oh, so true. And I remember one time I was in a virtual summer camp and they said, all right, you need to do a couple of things. You need to make a fruit bowl for a neighbor. And so my son and I made a fruit bowl and we made it out of one of those, we made a basket out of a watermelon. And we made all the, it was a really pretty fruit bowl. And it turned out that one of the neighbors was having a funeral at their home. And so we were able to bring it over, but it created such a fun activity for my son and myself to do together. And then the feel good of when you're looking in your own neighborhood to find something, who needs you? Who needs flowers? Do they need a yard mowed? Do they need somebody to bring them groceries? So many people are in need. And if you just take a minute and look around in your own neighborhood, it's what he said, just start small. We're going to take a little break and we're going to go to a section called You Rock.
You rock, you rock, you rock, you rock, you rock.
Patrick, I've named one of this section called You Rock because My brother, who was also chronically ill, he had scoliosis and he passed about almost 8 years ago. And Terry couldn't give a lot towards the end. He was very much in pain, and but he could give his heart to people and he could encourage people. And so he always would tell me, Mary, you rock, be happy. And so I always appreciated that, because there were so many dark times in my life that that one little encouragement really helped. And so I wanted to acknowledge somebody that I know and to I appreciate. And Patrick, you are the person today that I'm picking as You Rock, because you are one of those leaders who is consistently bringing goodness into the world. And you've chosen significance over status and service over your ego and impact over attention. And what you're doing through Boggy Creek Camp is changing lives and families all over Central Florida. And I just want to honor you today for that. I appreciate your leadership and your kindness and your beautiful heart. So thank you, Patrick. You rock. And who do you want to say?
Thank you, Mary.
You're welcome. You really, truly do. Who rocks in your world?
I'll have to say that my niece, Blair, she's been gone for 9 years. She still rocks in my world. Just the inspiration she gave me and has led me to where I am now, where I'm surrounded by other people who rock. The campers who come here are just a joy. The staff that I get to work with give their heart every day. So I'm surrounded by rock stars. I love it.
Oh, that's beautiful. They do rock. Well, today's conversation with Patrick Chapin of Camp Boggy Creek is telling us that meaningful lives are the ones that leave people better when after we found them. Every single one of us has influence. And maybe you're helping through leadership or through kindness or through mentoring or generosity, or maybe though you're just simply showing up for another person. And the question isn't whether you matter. You do. The question is, how are you using your gifts to help others? Because significance is not about fame. It's about contribution, and every single person who's changing the world are doing it quietly. They're consistent and they're lovingly doing it every single day. So today, encourage someone, help somebody, lift someone up and be a light in someone's life. And that is how we're going to create a better world together. Patrick, take us out with one last moment before we go to the end of our show.
Well, thank you. I would just, I guess, reiterate that, never underestimate the impact, you know, that a small act of kindness could have on someone. Everyone is carrying something that you can't see. Specifically, Camp Boggy Creek, we've served 100,000 kids, but we want to be here for the next child, the parent who's finding out a diagnosis today who is going to need us. So think about those childs. Think about your neighbors. Think about the people around you. You can truly make a difference.
I love that. And give us the website before we sign off.
Yep, www.boggycreek.org.
Boggycreek.org. Well, we've been talking to Patrick Chapin today about Camp Boggy Creek and the importance of helping our neighbors and the importance of helping those that are critically ill and giving them an opportunity to have some joy in life and visiting the camp. Patrick, you've been amazing. You rock. Thank you all for listening today. If you have any questions, email me at mary@marygardner.com. You can hear all of our shows at marygardner.com. We appreciate you so much. And thank you to all our beautiful sponsors. And we look forward to seeing you next week. Don't forget, stay inspired and check out Camp Boggy Creek. Thank you. God bless.